that, Miss Rhonda. Boy, what a tremendous song this evening. Amen. Sometimes I tell the Lord that he's better to me than anybody I know. I just stand amazed so many times how good God is to me. I mentioned not long ago how the Lord just one Saturday morning got a hold of some things in my life and began to just show me how blessed I was and how God had intervened and put things together. Only God can do those things. And boy, I'm telling you, you know, a lot of times I feel like, boy, God, I get tired of, you know, it's me again, Lord, you know. It's, you know, it seems like I'm always going to him like that, but boy, he just loves you this evening. And we all love him, amen. And again, we appreciate you being here this evening. I got so many things going through my mind right now of what I need to be doing, and I still ain't got clarity of any of it right now, but we're gonna shoot and see where it hits, I guess. Take your Bibles this evening, two places real quickly. John chapter 12 and John chapter 1. John chapter 12 and John chapter 1. And we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to draw some things to your mind. I'll let you get to your place and I'll say some things. I want you to be able to hear. Appreciate the Bible pages turning. John chapter 12, verse 21. And John chapter 1, verse 46 are the two verses that we'll be looking at. I'll let you find your place there. You that have been around me for a while, you know, again, I said this morning that some churches, and again, I'm not, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us how often to take of the Lord's Supper. There's nowhere in Scripture that says you do it quarterly or you do it 6 months or whatever. It's not a fact of how many times you do it. It's not a fact of when you do it. It is a fact that we do it. And more of the fact than we do it is the fact of why we do it and how we do it and the thought of doing it. Is all those things there about the Lord's Supper. And I've made mention, and we're going to try our best. God's, some of you are probably going to fall out on me tonight, but I hope not. We're going to do something really different tonight. Because so many times, when we come to do the Lord's Supper, we get way too formalistic of what this represents. And I loved, as I read my Bible, to try to put my mind and my thoughts into what was taking place at the time of things happening. And when you see the Lord's Supper in the Bible, when Paul, especially there in 1 Corinthians, that's where we're going to turn here in just a little bit, when Paul was reprimanding the church there at Corinth about how they were not performing the Lord's Supper in the right way, but you draw your mind back to the Gospels of when the Lord took those men up to that upper room, and the feeling, the atmosphere that must have been in that place, him getting ready to die, he getting ready to leave out of here, and he being with those men, and the picture that he was drawing to show those men what that bread and what that cup represented is the place that you and I need to get to tonight. It's not about that piece of bread. I know where that bread came from. I actually helped make it this time, didn't I, Mama? I did. I asked her, we've been so slammed busy on stuff. I said, what can I do to help you? Because her mama taught her how to make communion bread, so she makes communion bread. And to be honest with you, when we first came, we were using them styrofoam chips. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what that stuff's made out of, but it wasn't bread, I don't think. But and it's not about the bread, you know, it's unleavened bread is what it is. And there's a message about that part of being unleavened bread, because that bread represents what? It represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, so it's not about that bread. Again, it was made at my house yesterday, so I know where that bread came from. And, it's not that, you know, I don't preach a lot against, you know, different religions and stuff. We got enough troubles of our own, but, you know, a lot of religions, Catholicism especially, you know, they take that thought that that's literally the body of Christ. That bread will mysteriously, I guess is the right word, as you take of it, becomes the body of Christ. Well, that's crazy. because Hebrews tells us that our Lord and Savior, that sacrifice was one time. If that was true about that bread, that means he dies every time they take communion, and that didn't happen. He died once on the cross. But the thing that I want us, and that's the reason, and I truly have. I've enjoyed our study through the book of John. I hope that it's been a joy to you. And we started all off several weeks ago now with that thought there in Matthew, when the Lord's looking at those same men. And he says, who do people say that I am? And they began to say some of the things. And today, you talk to people, there's all kinds of beliefs around about us. People don't know enough of their Bibles to talk intelligently anymore. They hear stuff, and you'll hear about anything, you know, when it comes to talking to people, if you talk to people. And my prayer was that when we began this study, because the book of John is such a deep book. I mean, it's a good book for when believers get saved. But it's one of those books. The more you read it, the more you can dig into it. But we've spent the last 21 weeks thereabouts, maybe a little longer because we had to skip a couple of Sunday nights, looking at every chapter and seeing a great portrait, a great picture of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and those men that the Lord spoke to there in Matthew about who he was. Those are the same men that he took up in that upper room and broke bread with them and gave them of the bread and gave them of that cup and took of that, showing them another side of who he is and what he was going to do. And, you know, I want us to see that side of Christ and the humanity side. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to take on the body of a fleshly man and come and walk upon this earth to a group of people that didn't want him, didn't like him, that cast him to the side, that hollered out, crucify, crucify. But he came and humbled himself to the place that he walked upon this earth as a fleshly man. He was just as much man as we are as far as flesh goes, but he never lost the sight of God of who he was. He was always still God. So we need to understand that. And that's, you know, that's always, I've never really seen it. I've taken of the Lord's Supper who knows how many times. And I've never really got the experience out of it that I really feel like that God has for us in the Lord's Supper. Some of our young people, and I'm not fussing at them. They're just, most of them, small children. You know, after communion, can we have some more juice? Can we have some more bread? You know, they don't understand what we've just done to the point, and we're teaching them, we're training them. But my desire is what we're going to read here in just a moment tonight in what we partake of in the Lord's Supper. And we've looked, and we're going to go back over every chapter that we've looked at just quickly. We're not going to be long in that. But I want to see him. He's not hid. Paul said there that I may know him and the power of his resurrection through that suffering. And tonight, how much, you know, last Sunday morning we preached on that fact of a preparedness. You know, I mentioned last week that we were going to take of the Lord's Supper. I mentioned this morning that we were going to take of the Lord's Supper. I wonder how much preparation I have taken place. You know, the ladies, Miss Aretha and my wife, they've prepared, got things together. I appreciate that, but it's not about the physical, and there is a physical preparation to things, but I believe as the body of Christ this evening, there ought to be some preparation in our lives to really get the full effect of what the Lord's Supper is all about. And we want to share that a little bit with you. So let's stand together, and let me read a couple of verses to you, and we'll move through this evening. John chapter 12, verse 21. This was one of the things that we looked at in the picture of Christ in John 12 because he is something to see. Here in John chapter 12, verse 21 says, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him. And here's what we want to look at, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. And tonight, if I could just say it one more time, sir, we want to see Jesus. I don't want to see a formality. I don't want to see just another drinking of some juice and eating of some bread. Lord, I want to see you in everything that we do tonight. Not just tonight. It ought to be that way every day that when we get up, Lord, I want to see you. I want to fix my eyes on him. I know we got to live in this world. I know we got to walk in this world. But we ought to be able to see Christ in every place that we go and see him moving and working in our lives. And that's what they said, sir, we would see Jesus. And boy, wouldn't it be good tonight if a little group like us would get on fire for the Lord and just truly in the depths of our heart. I can't do it for you. And you can't do it for me. But the God of heaven can put a desire in our hearts that we too could have a burning in our hearts. Remember the ones on Emmaus Road? How after the Lord broke the bread in their home, he said, did not our hearts burn? We need a good case of heartburn tonight. We need a good case of we've been so close to the Lord like Moses was that when he came down off the mountain, there's a difference in our life. So many times, I don't know why I'm preaching this way, but so many times we build a difference in the thoughts and things that we do and don't do. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have standards. You ought to have standards. There's biblical standards. And we ought to go to those things. But if all you've got is standards without Christ, you ain't got nothing. We ought to want to see Jesus. So that was the question. John chapter 1 verse 46 this evening. John chapter 1 verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, here the Lord's beginning to move in the work of Christ. He says now, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. John chapter 12, verse 21, Lord, we would see Jesus. Well, Philip told Nathanael, come and see. And tonight, if you truly want to buy into this thing, and I know that's probably not the right terminology because I ain't selling nothing, but if you really want to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the invitation is to come here and see him. He's not hiding from the church. He's not some mystical thing that's so out of reach that he can't be touched, because the Bible says in Hebrews that he's our high priest and he can be touched with the infirmities of man. So, again, do we really want to see him? We've seen picture after picture after picture of what he is and who he is and who he can be in my life. But do you want to see him? I've seen a lot of pictures of things. And pictures are beautiful. Boy, my daughter, she likes, wherever she's at, I don't know where she's at, nursery, I guess. She loves taking pictures. She's into photography, that kind of thing. I love messing with computer software that messes with pictures. You know, you can make beautiful pictures. But I don't care how beautiful the picture is. Nothing can compare to a physical sight of it. I've seen a lot of beautiful pictures of sunsets and sunrises. But the ones that stick into my mind is the ones that I sat there and watched it happen. And I can draw you all kinds of pictures. We can get preachers in here to draw you all kinds of pictures of Christ through the Word of God. But when you really see him yourself, he comes a lot more to you. Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip said, come and see. So tonight, I want to ask you, do you want to see him? You know how it is with children. You got something in a box, and you start building that thing up. It don't take long. Every kid in here wants to see what's in the box. Why don't we adults want to see what's in the book? He's there. So that's where we're going this evening. So let's pray, and we'll let you be seated. Father, we sure love you. Lord, you know my heart this evening a whole lot better than I do. God, I know that you sure have worked your finger in my heart this afternoon and evening about tonight. And Lord, I sure don't know what to expect. God, I'm trying just to be as obedient as I can and do what you'd have us to do in a way that you'd get the glory out of it. I sure appreciate, Lord, a place that you've allowed us to come. Lord, I don't take this place for granted. God, I thank you for my church family. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, not just here, Lord. I got to talk to Stacy today, Lord. And God, I got brothers and sisters in Peru. I got brothers and sisters all around this world. And God, I'm thankful that the thing that puts us all together is you. And God, it doesn't matter the color of the skin or the language they might speak. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for that common bond, Lord, that we can commune together through and in Christ. Lord, I sure thank you again for all that you have done. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight, God, just to see you, because, Lord, we desire to see you. And God, I want you to be lifted up. Lord, I don't want you to take anything away from you. Lord, I don't want to make you unreachable, though. And God, I know, Lord, that just as that woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched you and you knew you'd been touched, Lord, I still believe, God, that men, women, boys, and girls tonight can reach out by faith and touch you. And God, I just pray tonight, God, that we'd stretch out just a little further and, God, touch and get a touch back, Lord, and we'll thank you for it. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Let me run down through this, and then we'll get into the meat of this thing. And again, just to remind you, again, we've seen portraits, we've seen pictures in John 1. We saw Jesus as the Word. What a great picture. Thank God for the Bible. He is the Word of God. This book is leather and paper and ink. Man put the ink in a press and pressed this thing out and made a book, but it's not about the man that put it in a book. It's not about the company that sold the Bible, but it's about who breathed the Word into the men that God used to pen this great book. And I believe with all my heart we have an infallible book. Amen. This thing is pure. The Bible teaches it's pure. We don't need versions or perversions. We got the Word of God. I have no doubt in my mind. I don't argue the fact because I just know what I believe. Why you believe it? Did some teacher teach you that? No, sir. Why do I believe it? Because God has showed me that this is the Word of God. And so tonight we see Him as the Word there in John chapter 1. What a picture He is of this book. Every time, and listen, young people, and some of you older people, this isn't a luck charm. A lot of people take it around and carry it in the back pocket like a rabbit's foot, throw it in the back seat of the car and let the sun wrinkle it up. Hey, this is the Word of God. It's God's love letter to you. You ought to take care of your Bibles. Don't throw them around like they're just an old common magazine. Don't roll them up. Take care of your Bible. Preacher, do you write in your Bible? I do. If you ever get hold of my Bible, there's a lot of places you can't hardly read it because there's, hey, it's a working book, amen. Well, preacher, I don't believe in writing. That's okay. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying you ought to take the Bible. It's not just a book of do's and don'ts. It's something that's personable. Why? Because it's a picture of, it's not only a picture, it is the Word of God, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is the Word. He's the living Word. And that's the picture we saw in John chapter 1. John chapter 2, we saw Jesus as life. There's no other life without Christ. If you're not saved this evening, you don't have life. But buddy, I can say tonight, I live because of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back, you might get a phone call. Hey, did you hear? What is it when you get older? My mama, that's her desire of the day, to read the obituaries. I don't know what that is. When we was in Taylorsville, my goodness, Taylorsville was worse than that. Taylorsville was a neat little place. They used to have what was that radio station? I don't remember what it was now. Yeah, 1570 out of Taylorsville, North Carolina. Every morning they had a swap shop. Boy, I loved to sit there and eat my breakfast, listen to the swap shop. I just enjoyed listening to the crazy people on there. It was funny. But every day at about 1 o'clock, about dinner time, they read the obituaries on the radio. The town of Taylorsville stopped. Everybody's listening to the obituaries. But you know, one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back, you might get a phone call or see it in the paper. Hey, did you hear that old fat preacher? He died. Don't believe him. Well, I ain't gonna die. I'm gonna live because I have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the picture that we see in John chapter 2. John chapter 3, we see Him as that great teacher. Boy, I know today we have a lot of great teachers in the physical realm. We watched a movie the other night. It's a true story about a guy that has Tourette's that wanted to be a teacher and had a desire to teach young people and how with that disease, Tourette's, that's one of those they make funny noises and jerk and all that stuff, and people wouldn't listen to him and became a great teacher. And boy, we got some great teachers that still love children. You know, teachers are one of those things that used to have a desire to love the children, help them. Now, nowadays, it's become a profession to a lot of people, and they don't care less about the children. But there's still some good teachers out there that have the children's welfare at heart. And they're good teachers. And we got good Sunday school teachers. And I know preachers that are great teachers. But boy, there's no teacher like Jesus. Get in the book and sit at his feet and listen to him and listen to him and listen to him. He is a great teacher. And what a picture we see that. John chapter 4. Oh my, if there ever was a soul winner, it had to be Christ. Because he's the only one that can win souls. So we saw that picture of him in John chapter 4. John chapter 5, he's that great physician. Boy, I'm telling you, he knows our infirmities. He knows better than I do. There's nothing that gets past him. Nothing comes upon him that says, oh no, I didn't see that coming. Nowadays you go to the hospital and they don't know what's wrong with you. They got to run a gazillion tests so they can take all your money and your insurance's money, and they still don't know what's wrong with you, but they got your money. My wife's got a procedure coming up Tuesday they're going to do, and they're more concerned about getting their money before they're going to do anything else. It's just a shame. I'm glad I don't have a physician like that when it comes to Jesus. Amen. He knows my infirmities. He knows what's wrong with me. He knows how to take care of me. He is that great physician. What a great picture. I hope you can see that in him. John chapter 6, boy, what a chapter. I love John chapter 6. He's that great I am. He just is. He is that bread of life. He is that cup. He's all that living water. He is the great I am. That's John chapter 6. John chapter 7, we saw that fountain of living water. You let the power go out your house if you ain't got city water. You appreciate water, man. I'm telling you, it was nice when the power come back on Saturday and got in that shower and let that water run and just felt good. And but better than that, boy, I'm glad I was that woman there at the well. She drunk out of the living water well, amen. And Jesus said, you'll never thirst again. And I'm glad I've been to the well, amen. And I'm saved, I'm saved. I know what that water tastes like. He is that living water. John chapter 8, we saw him as that synthetic Savior. He's that one that understands us better than we understand ourselves. He knows our frame. He knows what we're dealing with. Nothing. And people say, well, God never put more on you than you can bear. You better leave that alone because that ain't biblical. But I can tell you this evening, God never put more on us than he can bear. Amen. Listen, you ain't able to do nothing because Jesus said, without me, you can't do nothing. Amen. So he is that one that he sympathizes with us. He knows who we are. And I'm glad of that this evening. John chapter 9, what a picture. He is the light of the world. Boy, like I said, I love to see sunrises. I love to see sunsets. Me and something my daughter, my wife even likes to do it too. See the clouds, especially when been a storm or something, to see the sun shining off of them clouds. And boy, what a beautiful picture is it beams off of those clouds. But buddy, that's nothing compared to Jesus. He's the light of the world, amen. And we see there in John chapter 9, he's that great light. John chapter 10, boy, another great picture, because I know him. I've felt this one. I've seen him in action in this one. I can see the picture of it, but I've been to this place. He's that good shepherd, amen. He knows my needs. He knows how to take care of me. He knows how to lead me and guide me. And I'm telling you, that's who he is. If you want to see him this evening, he is that good shepherd. John chapter 11, we saw him as the resurrection and the life. What a great picture there in John chapter 11. John chapter 12, the verse we sing there, they said, sir, we would see Jesus, and we preach, and he's just something to be seen. Amen. We could sit, boy, Brother Melvin done a great job Wednesday night. If you wasn't here, you missed a good message there about what do you see in the manger. Amen. And buddy, we could preach seeing Jesus from now until the Lord comes back. And we can all talk about something that we can see in him, but he's worth seeing. Amen. And that's what he is. He's something to be seen. John chapter 13, we see Jesus Christ again. A great picture. Most people never look at Christ this way, but that's who he is. We saw him as a great servant. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God's only begotten Son. He came down this earth, robed himself in the flesh of man, and he was a servant in heart. Hey, what a great picture, you and I, as tonight we ought to be servants one to another this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, what a picture. He is the way. Listen, you can see all kinds of pictures, road maps, road signs, all kinds of things to get you from point A to point B. But I want to tell you, when you see Christ, he is the way, the only way. The way you're going to get to heaven is through the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's John chapter 14. John chapter 15, we saw the picture of Christ as that true vine. Well, there's a lot of false vines today. Yeah, they're trying to be the vine, but they ain't the vine. There's only one vine, and that vine's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ain't getting off of that vine, you ain't on nothing there. So that's that picture of Christ in John 15. John chapter 16, he's a picture of our peace. Boy, I've seen that one, hadn't you? boy, when everything is unsettled and you don't know what to do, I'm glad I've seen him personally speak peace. What a picture of Christ. John chapter 17, he's our intercessor. What a picture. Boy, right now, even as we sit here tonight, he's interceding on my behalf. That's who he is. John 18, we began to look at his suffering. Oh, could you imagine? Tonight, we're going to give a little old piece of bread, unleavened bread. We're going to give you a little plastic cup with some juice in it. But until you see him as that suffering Savior, you don't understand what that bread's all about. That body, that perfect body. He had to be a perfect, sinless lamb. That perfect body was beaten and broken and ripped. And that's tonight what we're going to see if you want to see him. Sir, we'd see Jesus. Won't you come and see him? So he is that suffering Savior. John chapter 19, we saw him crucified. He died. Nobody took his life. He gave his life freely. Have you ever seen that? You don't enjoy your salvation until you get to see that. But he is that crucified. John chapter 20, we saw that resurrected Redeemer. And how he alone is the one that paid our price. He's alive, he's alive. And then John chapter 21, last week when we met together, we saw him, what a friend. Remember what we talked about, Peter? How Peter had failed Christ. How Peter was broken. And tonight you might be here tonight and you think, listen, when I do something wrong, when I know I've made somebody mad, I was talking to Brother Stacy today and I asked him how his day went and he told me, he said, well, it was actually a quiet, peaceful day. I said, you better enjoy those. Have you ever seen somebody come and you just know that when they were coming for one reason, it was you? And when I've done somebody wrong, I know I've done them wrong, boy, it breaks me to have to look them in the eyeball. And you ought to look them in the eyeball. And Peter here failed miserably, about like I do. But the Lord Jesus Christ took care of him, called him, and reinstated him into the ministry. He didn't lose the work of Christ. Why? Because Christ's the work. And tonight you might be here and think, well, I don't want to see him because he'll see right through me. Guess what? He already knows you. Won't you come and see him? You'll be amazed what he can do. So that's the pictures. Now tonight you can settle for pictures. You can have, as I mentioned, that school teacher made the comment about we can teach people to regurgitate. I love that word. Regurgitate information. We can teach you what verses to put on your mind. We can teach you how to do a 1, 2, 3 ABC type thing. And you'll be telling truth. But it's a whole lot different when you can speak knowing the truth. And the truth is the Lord. And you're talking to someone about Jesus because you know him. Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip said, come and see. So tonight, I want you to see. I want to see him. Take your Bibles real quickly. We're just about done this evening. Take your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this evening. We know that Paul, dealing with the church at Corinth, had a lot of issues that had to be dealt with, no different than we do. Listen, we're not perfect. We'll never be perfect. We're going to always have problems. We're always going to have obstacles. We're always going to have ins and outs, ups and downs. It's just that's the way it is. But don't look to man. Look to the Lord. And Paul, dealing with some issues here in the church, and one of them being the Lord's Supper. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse number 16. Talking about that cup, talking about that bread. Verse 16 says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Now, we need to understand tonight that if we're not careful, we'll get formalistic about it and we'll bless a cup and not realize the meaning of that cup. Tonight we're talking about the blood, not of just anything, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul says, is the cup of blessings. Is it not a blessing tonight to think about what the Lord done for us? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? How do you have communion? You've got a fellowship. You've got to be together. You've got to have some interaction. I'm afraid we miss that. Is not the cup a blessing? Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Then he goes on and says, the bread which we break. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Tonight when we take of the cup and we take of the bread, it ought to be a fellowship between us and the Lord Jesus Christ on the work of Calvary. Not a fellowship between you and I per se, but a fellowship with us and the Lord. Verse 17 says, for we being many are one bread. Tonight as we take of the Lord's Supper here, it's not about us, it's about the body of Christ. It's the same bread, Hebrews chapter 10. That one sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. It's not a gospelite Baptist thing. It's not an American thing. It's about being a child of the living God, the church of Christ. Verse 18, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? Talking about the Old Testament ways. Verse 19, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? Paul's dealing with how they put emphasis on these things, the idols. And I'm telling you tonight, we ought to watch ourselves, we ought to keep ourselves from sin. We shouldn't want sin in our lives. But listen, Christ is all in all. He's victorious. And listen to what it says here. What say I, verse number 19, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered to sacrifice to idols anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. See, tonight, it's not the cup, it's the mindset and the attitude of who you're worshiping. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. There's got to be a separation. There's got to be something that separates us. And it's not what we do or don't do. The separation is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the separation. Verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? What a correct question. Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no questions, for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, ask no question, for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, or for a conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not of thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if by grace, be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Verse 13, what a key. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Tonight, sir, we'd see Jesus. Come and see. Why? Because He deserves glory. Give no offense neither to the Jew nor the Gentile nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. Now, look on down to chapter 11. Look in verse number 17. Now, as this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Now, wouldn't it be sad tonight that when we leave here, that God would look down from heaven and see you and I and say, you came together not for the better, but you're actually worse off than when you came. Well, that'd be disheartening, wouldn't it? I don't want to leave worse than I come. I want to leave better than I came. Verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Paul said, I ain't no dummy. Y'all bunch of Baptists? See, the church, Christ was very specific in the book of Acts. They were all of one accord. And tonight, church, if we're going to see Christ, we can't have division. We can't have some over here and some over there and some in the middle and have to be going different ways. Why? Because there's only one cup and one bread and there's only one Christ. And that's what he's saying. Paul says, I partially believe it. Verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and the other is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and to shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? Paul says, I praise you not. See, tonight, as we think about why we've come this way, why we look to see Christ in that cup and in that bread, it's not about the fellowship of man per se, but it's about the workings of the body of Christ. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Look, that's all it is. I can't give you nothing that he didn't give me. And he didn't give me something that he won't give you. So he says, therefore, I've received the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same night that he was betrayed, the same night that they were going to come and arrest him, he says, look, fellas, you've watched me. You've walked with me. You've seen God at work. He says, I'm going to take this bread. It's a picture of my body being broken. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, don't you look at pictures, especially old pictures. Fellas, you remember when you look back at some of them pictures and you used to have hair? Been a long time since you've seen that picture, hadn't it? I'm getting there. My wife accidentally took a picture of the top of my head. I was like, that thing, you know, I don't see up there. I said, yeah, it's getting pretty thin. You look at pictures and it brings back what? Memories. Tonight, we're going to take up some bread and some juice. Sir, I sure would love to see Jesus. Jesus says, come on, see me. I want to look into the picture of that body. And I wasn't at Calvary. Boy, I remember that day, 13-year-old boy in Vacation Bible School, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke out to my heart. I asked the Lord to come into my heart and save me. Boy, I saw Calvary at its work. And how he was broken, and how he was bruised and beaten and bled for my redemption. Boy, I need to be remembered. I need to remember that every once in a while. Sometimes we forget. It says after verse 25, it says, and after the same manner also he took of the cup and he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. There's a great study in cups. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, he drank that cup. That cup of all the sins of the world. He drank every drop of it. That you wouldn't have to taste it. He tasted death for you. Tonight, as we take of that bread, as we take of that cup, we ought to want to see the crucifixion of Christ and remember what he's done for you and I. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whoever whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And listen, there's not a soul in here tonight. You are worthy of anything. It's the gift of Christ that makes you worthy. That speaking of unworthiness is those that never get saved, that never take of what Christ has offered them. Verse 30 says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. There's a lot of hurt in the church because there's a lot of people that are not really saved. They're playing saved, but they're not saved. They try to act saved, but it's just an act. Why? Because when you're saved, Christ is in you, and you're in Christ. Verse 31 says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Well, I'm thankful for the chastening hand of God. Sometimes you get a little dirt on you, and you don't even realize you got it. You ever walk around with something on your nose or your face, and you wish somebody told you 2 days earlier or an hour earlier that you had a smudge on your face? Everybody's been laughing at you all day, and now they figured out you had something on you. Tonight, we ought to just let the Lord clean us up. If you're saved, you're saved. But there's all of us tonight. There's things in our life that keeps us from being as close to the Lord as we need to be. So that's what we have. Now, the question is what we do with it. You can take of the bread and take of the cup, and that's all it's going to be. But I believe with all my heart, if you desire to see Christ tonight, this bread is not going to turn into his body. This juice isn't going to turn into his blood. But tonight, if you'll let the Lord help us, and it's got to be him, I believe we can leave this place a little more renewed in the Spirit, walking a little closer than we walk today, and walk this week maybe a little more for the Lord Jesus Christ through just seeing him. John said, behold, there's the Lamb of God. Tonight, won't you take a good look at him? Amen. Well, here comes the place that you're going to think I've done flipped my weed. Appreciate our deacons. Most of the time we let those men serve us. And for some reason, this is what the Lord's laid on my heart this evening. And I know not all of you can do this. And we're going to make provision for you. But I'm going to ask you this evening, if you can and you would, we're going to gather around this altar and just spend some time in prayer. How long are we going to pray till we get done? Just spend a little time talking to the Lord and drawing ourselves and just getting some preparations in our heart. Because that night that he was betrayed, he sat at a table with those men. He even took that bowl of water and that towel and washed those men's feet. He spoke with them. He talked with them. He fellowshiped with them. And then he gave them that bread and then gave them that cup, showing them what was getting ready to happen. So what I'd like to do this evening, and I need help with this because we got some young people, I'd like to sort of just gather around this table, the altar, and fellowship a little bit with the Lord. And then we're going to serve one another with the bread and the juice. And I need a few of the deacons to stay towards the back because there'll be some people that can't get up here, and I need you to take bread and juice to them. But if you will, and I know I've never done this before, never have, but this is just the way the Lord's leading me. And if I'm scripture long, show me, and I'll say I'm sorry, but I can't find scripture to say that I'm wrong. Because there's no certain way to do this. I just want us to see Jesus. I want him to get glory. I want him to be lifted up through what we do tonight. So if you can and you would, just join me around the altar this evening. Communion tonight, Lord's Supper is for the saved. If you're not saved tonight, you're just eating bread and juice. You're not getting anything out of this.